Good morning, and welcome to our online service for this morning, Sunday, May the 9th. Wherever you may be watching from, we welcome you here. Though we are not physically present together, we continue to worship as one in spirit. We are thankful that you've joined us today as we worship God together. We recognize that today is Mother's Day, in which we take time to celebrate and honor our mothers, or the mother figures in our lives. The people we celebrate today are not always the traditional sense of a mom. Sometimes it's our grandma, our oma, our aunt, maybe even a mentor from church. And this is not always a joy-filled celebration. For some, it's a day of celebration, but for others, it's a day of grief and of pain. Some long to be mothers, or have experienced immense loss in losing a child. Some grieve the loss of a mother, or the mother that they never had. And some do honor the mother and the mother figures that they've had as positive influences in their lives. But through it all, however we may be approaching this day, we do so by taking time to turn to God and thank Him for the many blessings on which He has bestowed to us. And I'd like to open with a Mother's Day call to worship written by Professor and Pastor Carol Penner. And Jesus said, "Come." To all mothers and all children, He said, "Come." To the motherless and the childless, He said, "Come." To all who long to be mothered, He said, "Come." Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. We have a number of announcements today as listed in our bulletin, and I will highlight a few, but I encourage you to take a moment to read through it as well. So we will once again have our worship service on television, airing Sunday, May the 23rd at 10:30. So be sure to tune in to Channel 10 or HD 700. It's very exciting. This coming week on Friday at 7 p.m., there will be senior youth. And that same evening at 8:30 p.m., there will be a virtual young families meetup. And then looking ahead at next Sunday at 9:30 a.m. will be Sunday school for children ages 3 to those in grade 6. If you have any questions about those programs or others, feel free to contact the office or myself, Taya Himes. You'll notice within your bulletin this week as well, there's a list of members who are unable to join us regularly for in-person services when they are available for health reasons. And so I'd encourage you to take time to review the list and spend some time praying for those people as well, keeping them in mind. Our call to worship this morning is from Psalm 71, verses 1 to 8. In you, Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your righteousness, rescue me and deliver me. Turn your ear to me and save me. Be my rock of refuge to which I can always go. Give the command to save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of those who are evil and cruel. For you have been my hope, sovereign Lord, my confidence since my youth. From birth, I have relied on you. You brought me forth from my mother's womb. I will ever praise you. I have become a sign to many. You are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise, declaring your splendor all day long. So let us move now into a time of singing as we listen to a recording of our praise and worship team. So we'll now move into a time of prayer as we bring our needs and the needs of our community to God. So I ask that you please join me in prayer. Gracious God, we join together this morning to worship you, not in body, but in spirit. And we thank you for our time together. Today, we honor the mothers in our lives, whomever they may be. And we know that we won't be able to celebrate them exactly the way we would like, all together, in person, celebrating, maybe around the table, or just spending time together in fellowship. We ask that you bless the women of which we are so thankful. May they feel our gratitude and know that they are loved by us and by you. We come to you for a place of refuge and safety, especially as we continue to experience life in the midst of a pandemic, isolated from our friends and family. As we still find ourselves in our stay-at-home order, the walls around us feel as though they are getting taller. Those who are living alone are feeling ever so isolated. And those of whom that are with their families, relationships continue to be tested as we spend more and more time together. God, we ask that you meet us where we are and fill us with perseverance and strength and patience, and above all else, your perfect love. We lift to you those of whom in our community are experiencing grief with the loss of a family member. May they feel your comfort and peace during this difficult time as they grieve. We ask that you be with our essential workers and doctors, nurses, and scientists that continue to do such vital work with the hopes of bringing us back together again soon, in person and safely. Give them wisdom and strength as they work tirelessly each and every day. For those that are dealing with health concerns, be them physically, mentally, or emotionally, we ask that your healing hand be upon them, and may they feel your presence and love at this time. Through all things, may we remember that you are with us, that you love us, and you walk with us every step of the way. We pray all of these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. So we'll continue on with our worship this morning by listening to our praise and worship team again, leading us in singing Evidence of Grace.
So many lives are empty, so many walk alone, weary, sad, and longing for home.
Reaching out for something they cannot seem to find.
Lord, let your love illuminate the pathway to my side.
Good morning. Today's scripture reading is taken from 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 to 6. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands. And his commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth.
As our daughters have grown older, Meg and I have experienced what every parent has experienced in the course of their journey. This process of gradually entrusting our children to the care of others. I know the time will soon come when we can't shuttle them away quickly enough. A time when we'll be begging other people to take them, please, please, please. But it's always been somewhat difficult for us at first. And I think for many of you, if you've been parents, you can relate to this maybe. I think back to leaving our child, our first child, with our parents for those few hours that first time, or that first day of daycare, that drop-off we had, or soon enough, if we can believe it's the first day of school. It's like this for many parents, for most parents, because we love our children, and that means that we're invested in the kind of care that they receive. In preparation for today's reflection, I came across this online article written by a woman named Lauren. She doesn't provide her last name. But Lauren is one of many mothers who write online about the journey of parenting as a mother, and Christian faith, and the way those two intersect. And the title of this particular article is what drew me in. It goes like this. If you love my child well, you love me well. If you love my child well, you love me well. As a parent, I could immediately relate to that wording. And I also appreciated it because of how it connects to this occasion of Mother's Day today and to our reading for today as well. That passage you may recognize comes to us from the lectionary readings for this week. It's from 1 John, and it begins, as we've heard, with these words. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Now, the meaning here will be clear and likely familiar to many of us. In believing that Jesus is God's Messiah, we enter into new life as God's children. We're given a kind of second birthday. And if we're listening closely, we might also hear a connection to the Gospel of John when it comes to these themes. In that book's opening lines, we're told that those who believe in Jesus' name are given the right to become children of God's. And later on in that same gospel, we see this interaction that Jesus has with a Pharisee named Nicodemus. There Jesus explains to him that in order to enter into God's kingdom, one must be born again. Not by literal means, as if that were somehow possible, Jesus says, but by beginning a new life through a spiritual rebirth. Through Jesus, we're reborn and given new names and identities as children of God's. That's the sense we find in this verse here. And it's a theme that's repeated a number of times throughout this letter of 1 John, and functions as the starting point for this line of thought that we find in our verses for today. That argument continues like this in the second half of the first verse. Everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. When we become part of this new family by faith, we're called to love our spiritual siblings. We're asked to get along with our newfound relations and to show kindness and compassion to them. And this is something that the early readers of 1 John apparently struggled to do. They knew that God loved them. They had received that message and come to embrace it. And they said that they loved God in return as well. But they failed to demonstrate love to one another as God's children. As young siblings sharing this new home in God, they struggle to get along with one another. And they're told that this is a problem. The verses leading up to today's text give us these words to that effect. Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. And whoever does not love their brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen. He has given us this command. Anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. The writer of 1 John tells us that these two loves, these two affections, they can't be separated. We fool ourselves, they say, if we think we can love God while loathing God's other children. We're wrong, we read, if we think that we can maintain piety towards God while maintaining enmity towards God's own offspring in our hearts. We can't claim to be devoted to God while disregarding God's children or constantly getting in disputes with them. Because like Lauren, the Christian writer who reflects on her journey of motherhood, God tells us that if you love my child well, you love me well. If you love my child well, you love me well. Our love, we're told, for God's sons and daughters is an expression of our love for God's. They're so intertwined that it seems like they're one and the same. Allow me to share an example from Lauren's article, because I think that it illustrates the sense that we find in these verses here today in a really helpful way. She writes this about her first child. Anyone who thinks this precious child of mine is in my... Anyone who loves this precious child of mine, rather, is in my heart. You think my son is adorable? You're my new best friends. You say he's got the sweetest hearts of all the children in his class? Let's go grab coffee and talk about my sweet boy. I'm buying. You make a special effort to talk to him and learn what he likes and go above and beyond to make him good. I love you. If you love my child well, you love me well, she says. Again, as parents and grandparents and maybe even aunts and uncles and family friends, many of us will be able to relate to this, especially perhaps those of you who are mothers. Parenting young children can be really difficult at times, especially during this past year and a half. But when I've been able to do it well, there have been times when my wife Megan said something like this to me. Because she so deeply loves our children, she sees my love for them as a form of love to her. When I love our two girls well, I'm loving her well, as mother. And the same goes for the two of them also. As I was setting up to record today, I overheard her saying to our oldest daughter, thank you. When you share with your sister, it makes my heart happy. That's what it's like with God, the first writer of 1 John tells us. If we love God's children well, we love God well. Everyone who loves the Father loves the child, we read. And if we kind of turn that around, which I think we can, we can see that everyone who loves the child loves the Father. To love the parent is to love the child that they love. And to love the child that they love is to love the parents. Again, these are so intertwined here. When our daughter's grandparents read them stories over the computer, which they've done many, many times this year, we as parents receive that as a gesture of love and care towards us. When our daycare provider goes out of her way to be in good communication with us and takes good care of our child, we as parents receive that as a form of care to us. So that's something of what our relationship with God is like, we're told in these verses. We show our loves to God when we love one another well as members of God's family. And how exactly do we love God's other children? The writer seems to anticipate the question and tells us this in the verse that follows. We love the children of God by loving God and carrying out his commands. In fact, this is love for God, to keep his commands. This inseparable love for both God and God's children is lived out, we're told, through a life of obedience. We love God's children, all of our fellow born anew believers, by keeping God's commands. We might be reminded here again of another interaction that Jesus had in the Gospels. In this situation, another Pharisee, this time an expert in the law, we're told, asks Jesus a question. He says, what's the greatest commandments in the law? And Jesus, will maybe remember, responds and tells him this: love the Lord your God with all your hearts and with all your soul and all your minds. That's the first commandment, Jesus said, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love God and love others, Jesus says. Those are the greatest commandments, and they're both, in fact, quite alike, he says. The two are similar, different and yet one and the same. They hang together, and all the other commandments hang on them. Like the writer of 1 John, Jesus says that if we love God, that will be expressed in love towards God's other children. And if we love God's other children, that will be an expression of our love for God's. In other words, if you love me well, my child well, you love me well, is what God says to us. In her article, Lauren goes on to reflect about her experience of being a mother to her other children as well. She writes, for example, of how people showed love to her second son, whose birth and short life were marked by complications and severe illness. Here again, the affection and care showed to him, their son, by their friends and family was something that she and her husband were able to receive as a gift of love towards themselves. I only wish I could repay them with the love I have in my heart for them, she writes. And likewise with her third child, a foster child who came to them bearing significant trauma and behaviors that at times resulted from it. This is what she writes about her. Because of those challenges, we have a lot of issues to deal with. I don't meet a lot of people who fight for her with me, who go out of their way to love her. Usually I get the list of faults and problems, not the sweet messages of who she is. Because of that, because I'm so used to that, when I pick her up or come home to a sitter, I expect to hear the worst. I brace myself for how to respond. So recently, she says, when someone told me how much they love her and how wonderful she is, and I saw the kindness they showed her, my heart wanted to burst. Thank you for being kind to my child. Thank you for loving her well. Can we imagine God saying that to us? Can you imagine God saying that to you? Thank you for loving my child well. Again, it's a hopeful illustration of our text today. When we show love to God's beloved children, it's received as a gift of love by God, with all the delights that Lauren expressed and more. It's helpful because I think we can often think of loving others as a kind of duty or obligation to God. And there's maybe some aspect of truth to that. But what if we saw God as a loving caregiver of children whose heart was so deeply filled with gratitude and joy when others showed care to those children? And there are countless ways that we can do this, and we do this and try to do this in our day-to-day life together as church and within our wider communities as well. If we considered it more broadly, I wonder if Lauren's article might even provide us with some examples of how we might do that. We can love God's daughters and sons, for example, by caring for them when they're sick and suffering. If you've ever taken a child to the hospital or cared for an ailing adolescent at home, you'll know how meaningful it is when people show good care to them. It's like that to God. It's like that for God's hearts. That's what we're told here in this letter. God's heart hurts when God's children are hurting. And so like this concerned and tender-hearted parents, God receives it as love when we show one another support and love in those times. And like Lauren and her daughter, I think we can also love God's children well by showing patience and care to those who've lived through challenging circumstances and at times act out in challenging ways as results. Whether it's acute trauma that resulted from an event a lifetime ago or something like the difficult experience that we've all gone through these past 14 months, we can end up bearing out that burden, those burdens in our behaviors towards one another. And so as fellow descendants of the divine, we can show compassion and understanding towards one another, and in doing so, show love to God. If you love my child well, you love me well, God says to us. As a mother, Lauren overflows with affection for her children. As with all parents, her work as a mother, as a parent, has clearly not always been easy. And yet love for them spills out in every word that she writes here. And it's because of that deep love that she has and that she feels that she feels so loved when her children are loved by others. And so my question for today is, Do we understand just how deeply God loves God's children? Can we even begin to fathom what each of God's children means to God's hearts? Can you see that and say that of yourself today? Can you see that and say that of the people in your life today? Can we believe that the deepest love of the world's most loving mother barely breaks the surface of the great depth of love that God has for humanity? Can we believe that the over-the-top love that someone like Lauren has for her children just utterly pales in comparison to the love that God has for God's children? The writer of 1 John puts it like this: "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God's." When we can see this, when we can recognize this, we can see that in this way, God's commands are not burdensome. They're not burdensome, we're told here, because everyone born of God overcomes the world. In these lines, we find the same word that Jesus uses in the Gospels when he invites all those who are weary and burdened to come to him and find rest. Unlike all of the religious teachers in his day who piled on these crushing loads of rules and regulations on people, Jesus said that his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Because as with all children, we become God's spiritual children, not by any effort of our own, but simply by God's love. Children don't do anything to bring themselves into the world. Spiritually speaking, we become babies again simply by believing that Jesus is the Son of God. All that we need to become part of this family is faith. We're children of grace, and when we can begin to see that about ourselves, we can recognize that about others and seek and begin to love them well. So my next question for you today is, what might it look like to see the people in your life as beloved children of God? Who are the people in your life who are suffering right now? Who are the people who are presenting challenges towards you, towards others, because of the deep pain that they're carrying inside? What might it look like to love them well as God's children, knowing that by doing so, we're loving God well as well? The first readers of 1 John understood what it meant to be born again. What they missed, however, was the implications for how they interacted with one another within this new household. And the same could be said of many followers of Jesus today. They grasped this incredible reality of this new parent-child relationship between them and a loving and forgiving God. But they failed to reconcile the relationships with their Christian brothers and sisters. So God says to them and to us, "If you love my child well, you love me well." As with so many parents this year, Meg and I have had our external support scaled back to a minimum. And so as with so many parents this year, we've come to this profound new depth of appreciation for those who are able to love our children well. We've come to value more than ever before the ways that others care for our children well. "If you love my child well, you love me well," God tells us. So that is our invitation for today. So may God bless you in that ongoing work, and bless those of you today, especially who are mothers and thinking of your mothers as well. Amen. Thank you once again for joining us today, and thank you again to everyone who contributed to today's service and those who helped edit it together and place it online as well. As we go from this time, we seek God's blessing on the gifts that have been given this week by various means. If you're interested in information about how you can be giving at this time, I invite you to see our bulletin as well as contact the office if you'd like information about that. And we also seek God's blessing on the rest of this day and the days ahead of us. And so I share these words of benediction prepared by Christine Longhurst and based on Romans 8, verses 29 to 31. Brothers and sisters, never doubt the love of God. For long before you were aware of it, God knew you. He had already chosen you to be part of his family, a child of God. And having chosen you, he called you. And having called you, he made you right with God. And having made you right with God, he gave you his glory. So do not doubt the love of God. For if God is with us, we have nothing to fear. Amen, and go in peace.